Happy Friday, and thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show brought to you, as always, here on a Friday by the great team over at the Magic for Less Travel. The agents over at the Magic for Less are standing by right now to help you plan that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line vacation. These agents are passionate and professional travel agents. They love these Disney destinations, and they want to help you make that next Disney getaway the best it can be. Of course, they're going to get you the best financial deal possible, and they're going to always give you first-class concierge-level service so that when you're done with your trip, you can tell your friends and family that there's nothing better than booking with one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast, and you're going to get great service all the time. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 825 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday. We made it through another week, and you know what? We're through February, folks. We're turning the corner on spring. Before you know it, we'll have some spring training baseball games. Maybe you can head down to Walt Disney World and check out the Braves. Who knows? We're going to have a great time, though, talking Disney and thinking about our favorite place, which is Walt Disney World. So joining me today, we have the co-host of the show. She's from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com. She's a blogger over at TouringPlans.com and the editor of the Magically Speaking e-newsletter, co-editor.
Crystal Killian.
I know, that's what I thought. I just gave you a promotion. What's going on, Ricky?
That's
Happy
right.
Friday.
Happy Friday. Oh my gosh, we're done with February almost. I'm so happy to be done with February because this February has been nasty. So I am super excited for March. And of course, you know, next week, can you believe it? Next week starts Flower and Garden Festival. Holy cow, how did that happen? I don't understand. So yeah, I'm excited for spring because, you know, March is the month of spring. Yay!
That's right. And you know, we're both Cardinal fans, so Cardinal Nation coming out of the woodwork.
That's right. Let's hope for another good year.
That's so right. And today we have a very special guest. We're excited to have. And you, the great part about this is that you, the listener, I'm sure probably have one of his books on your shelf. And you,
I know I do.
You benefit from all the research. We're very excited to have Bob Selinger, the author of the Unofficial Guides to Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line. There's all kinds of destinations. Let's call them the unofficial guide. So thanks for coming on the show with us today, Bob.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So glad to have you. And I know you're kind of fighting a cold, as I am as well. So, you know, this one might be a tough one, but we'll hang in there and get through this because you know what? It's the changing of the seasons. Let's hope. And I know you're down in the South where hopefully you're kind of escaping this terrible weather. So how's it been down in Alabama?
Well, we had freezing rain this morning and we're looking at possible snow on Wednesday.
Oh, man, you guys, no one can escape this stuff this year. I think it definitely drives people down to Florida.
Yes, that is absolutely true. So everybody's daydreaming about what is nice outside, and it ain't what's out their window. So Florida it is.
That's it. Let's all meet there. So anyway, yeah. let's get into, I want to talk to Bob here about the unofficial guides. And, you know, if I had to describe these books, and I've had so many copies, I always get one every year, and I have this kind of habit because, you know, I've gotten to know Len over the years, who's the co-author, and whenever I'm at the mall or something where there's a bookstore, I always pull out the unofficial guide and give it a nice, like, center placement there because I'm a Disney fan, and I know Len, so I want people to pick it up. But let's just say this isn't the thinnest book on the shelf. You know, this is a hefty book. It's could be used to kind of give you a little weightlifting practice if you need it. But let me ask you this, Bob, from the beginning. You know, what's the history of the unofficial guides? And, you know, kind of on a side note, why do these suckers have to be so big?
Well, Disney grows.
That's so a good answer. Yeah.
You know, the book's gained a lot of weight. And the authors have gained quite a bit themselves. So, you know, it's all of a piece.
That makes sense. Now, tell us, though, why unofficial? Because that's the prominent word with your guides. And, you know, there's other guidebooks out there that, you know, kind of, I think, give the more the official word that Disney wants to get out there. So Why did you take the route of going the unofficial guide?
Well, when we published the first two unofficial guides, Disney World and Disneyland published simultaneously, there were no critical works on the Disney parks anywhere. And so we positioned ourselves against the only guides in print to Disney World and Disneyland, which were the official guides by Steve Birnbaum.
Interesting. So does that get...
It was a differentiating factor, and of course, it served us well down the road when it did evolve into a series.
And that's very interesting because I think, you know, and I'm just guessing here because I've read them year after year after year, but I'm not an expert in the field at all. But it gives you almost a freedom because you're out there speaking from your experience and you don't have to worry about towing the Disney line. You know, you're speaking mostly probably to Disney fans and folks that are considering going to a Disney destination. But you get out there and because you're unofficial, you give what the science tells you, basically, right?
Well, yeah, we don't pull any punches. We believe in the Disney product. We think they have a great product. But like all money-making concerns, there are things they do that are not always consumer-friendly. And in their entertainment mix, there are some things they do very well and some things not so well. And if you're going to go down there and park a couple of $1,000s in their bank account, I think that it's worthwhile knowing where the good and the bad lies and being able to avoid the landmines and really enjoy the good stuff.
I agree. I mean, that's something that, because information is power. And like I say on the show a lot here is that, you know, time is money on a Disney vacation. And we'll kind of get into the touring plans here in just a bit. But let me ask you about, because I am also an elementary school teacher and I teach gifted children. And with these unofficial guides, there is just so much data. I mean, that's the word I guess you could go with. You know, it's not just somebody's opinion or, you know, I think this one's prettier. The theme is, you know, you could say the theme's stronger at this resort over that resort. But you guys get in there and talk about the softness of the pillows in the resorts and the thread count on the sheets and stuff like that. So talk to us about, you know, the evolution over the years of how you've had to, and because of this, the guides have gotten more powerful and a better source of information. But how you gather this information and also gather a unique team to bring this information in?
Well, in the beginning, and I have to confess, I'm an accidental travel writer. I didn't set out to be a travel writer. Long ago, I was teaching policy and statistics and marketing research at Kentucky State University, and I took my children to Disney World, and we spent a bucket of money. I mean, at that point in time, it just seemed like the most expensive place on earth, but we had anticipated it would be the most wonderful as well. Well, we got there, and because of the crowds, we only saw about five attractions in a whole day at the Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. It drove me nuts. I was really aggravated. And given my background, I knew that there had to be a way to develop a plan to route people counter to the flow of the crowd and lessen the wait for all the various attractions. So I came home and I started working on a model. And ultimately, that model became the impetus and cornerstone for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. Now, at that time, the model was fairly simplistic. It was not sophisticated, but it worked. It was based on capacity for each attraction, traffic flow, the effect of parades and other live entertainment, and a number of other factors. The average wait in line for an attraction at any particular time of the day. And so over time, by which I mean 2 or 3 years, myself and a couple of friends went down and gathered data. And at the end of that, we developed a touring plan that would route someone through the parks and minimize their amount of time spent standing in line. Now that was, years and years ago. And the amount of time that we saved somebody with those earlier touring plans was about 2 hours. We went about it scientifically then, just as we do today. We'd go down there with a test group and a control group. The test group would tour the Magic Kingdom according to our touring plan, and the control group would go and tour according to their own instincts. Then we'd compare how they did. And from the beginning, we were saving people about 2 hours standing in line. Now, that particular model and those touring plans were what really gave rise to the unofficial guide as a book. So we basically took those touring plans, which nobody else had, nobody else had done anything like this, and we surrounded it with as much comprehensive information about Walt Disney World as we could. And in 1985, we launched the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World and the unofficial guide to Disneyland. Now, over the years, the books sold really, really well, and we continued to improve our touring plan and our mathematical model. But around the early 90s, 92, 93, 94, I was becoming aware of some sophisticated methodology that was not in my background. I knew it was out there. I knew it was powerful. But I'm not a programmer. I wasn't a programmer then. And so I started looking for somebody that could work with us on a brand new model that had all the requisite skills. Well, it turned out that he found me, and this was Len Testa, and he had done his master's thesis on the time-dependent traveling salesman problem. For people who are not aware of that, that's a classic problem in the field of operations research. UPS contends with it every day. It's a matter of a delivery fellow having to go to 15 different locations, and what's the best way, what's the most time-efficient way to make all those deliveries. And their model takes into concern, or rather takes into account traffic patterns, it takes into account construction and a number of other variables that would impact that delivery man's ability to get to all those places. And our plan are in what Len did with his thesis for his master's degree. He took the traveling salesman problem and started manipulating it so that it could generate a plan for seeing about 20 attractions at that point in time in the Magic Kingdom in the most efficient way. And we worked with Len for a couple of years, and then he and I started partnering. It turned out that he had a sense of humor very consistent with mine, and which, yeah, you should laugh. It's weird. We'll both acknowledge that. But in any event, we were very compatible. In fact, our editors here for the unofficial guide generally can't tell when Len's speaking or when I'm speaking when they're going through the manuscript. So, yeah, it is. It's interesting. But so Len and I started working together, and it took us about, I'd say, 3, maybe 4 years before the plan that he was working on, based on an evolutionary algorithm, could obtain the same results as our old clunky model. But ultimately, I guess by about year 5, it equaled the old model. And after that, we really accelerated the development and sophistication of the model that Len and I were working on, the new model. And at this point in time, that particular algorithm, that particular application that generates touring plans can save one of our readers 4 to 4.5 hours of standing in line in a single day on days of moderate to heavy attendance.
That's amazing. The evolution of that over the years, because, you know, just like I said, time is money. And, you know, the touring plan sponsors our Monday shows. And on our Monday shows, we always talk with a guest that has just returned from a Disney destination. And You know, unprompted, many times our guests will talk about their experience with their touring plan, and they'll say, you know what, it was some of the best money we spent because it's very inexpensive. And all of a sudden, you know, you're saving 4 hours a day here, 3 hours a day there, and you have time to go to the pool, or you have time to sleep in, you know, or, you know, you just, you have more time. And it's like, that's one of the commodities that is so scarce on a Disney vacation. And I don't know if you feel this way, Bob, but I mean, when you go on a Disney vacation, time goes so quickly. So if you can, in essence, you know, maximize that time and go in a more efficient manner, it makes everybody else a lot happier.
Oh, yeah. You know, surveys through the years and research into theme park satisfaction has shown that most people measure satisfaction by the number of attractions they experience in a given day. And that holds true for Six Flags parks and every other amusement park in the United States. That's the way that the paying customer determines what their level of satisfaction is.
Interesting. Because, you know, I think as you get to go down more and more, and I've, over the years, I used to get to go, you know, if I was lucky, once a year. And because of the show and because of, you know, all the stuff we've gotten able to, you know, I'm able to go down maybe 3 times a year now. Definitely not Lynn Test. I'm not there every other weekend and stuff. But, you know, I can slow down now and appreciate it because I've been on the attractions. But when I go down, I have the option of really, you know, doing that. So I can see both sides of the fence on that. But I can see where the casual Disney fan, you want to see as much as you can, because a lot of folks, it's a once in a lifetime thing, or, you know, hey, we might not come back for 10 years. So we want to make sure we can see Anna and Elsa. We want to make sure we can see Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and do Peter Pan. And, you know, that you got to have a plan of attack because, you know, as Len has said, he's come on our show a few times and I've heard him, you know, other places, that, you know, I think the average guest heads back to Fantasyland at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And Bob, I'm sure you've had to go through this, you know, in the evolution of the book. But I mean, I tell people, you don't want to be in Fantasyland at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in June. It just doesn't work.
No, not at all. So, you know, that's the whole raison d'etre for the touring plans. And, you know, one thing that a lot of people don't know is that our very best touring plans, the absolute most efficient touring plans that we have, are in the book. Now, touringplans.com, the website, does a tremendous job of developing custom touring plans. For example, if you're going to use the touring plans in the book, in the Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, then you have to commit to being at the gates about a half hour or even more before opening, and you see the attractions that we've included in the touring plan, which of course are the most beloved and popular attractions. But the number of attractions and the time that you have to get there, those are established constraints for the touring plan. If you go to Florida and your idea of a vacation is not getting up at 6 o'clock to be at the Magic Kingdom by 7:30, and you want to sleep till 10, then you can go to Lynn and get one of these custom touring plans where you can sleep as late as you want, and you can specify the attractions you want to see, which may be different from the ones that we have in the touring plans in the book. Now, you give up something, mm-hmm. obviously. The park's going to be more crowded when you arrive, but given your preferences, the custom plan that Len and touringplans.com cranks out is going to be the best you can do given the circumstances you've chosen.
Interesting. Absolutely. A little something for everybody.
Just to kind of throw in my own experience with it, I have used the touring plans when I went to Disneyland, because I was on a very limited time amount. I only had 2.5 days to see all of Disneyland, and it was my first visit, and I don't know when I'll ever get back. And especially at the time, I didn't know when I'd, you know, ever go back. And it actually, I mean, they really do work. I saw everything that I wanted to see, and I had, like you said, I had time to spare. Like, I had like a huge chunk in the middle of the day. I had like 3 or 4 hours where I could just enjoy the day, you know, that kind of thing. And it really does work. So, you know, people who wonder, does it work? Yes, I am proof that it works. You know, it really does work. So, you know, it kind of It's very interesting to me how the touring plans came first. You know, you would think that it would be the opposite. The book would come first and the touring plans would be later. But I like it even better now that I know that the touring plans were the first part of that. So, yeah, it's interesting.
You know, a lot of books arise because someone sees a problem and then endeavors to find a solution for that problem. And there wasn't any doubt in my mind after that first visit with my children that it was driving everybody nuts to stand in those lines all day. Everybody was aware of how much time they were wasting just standing, shifting from one foot to the other. So whenever you have a problem that's relatively universal within a given population, if you can figure out a way to solve that problem, then you should have a successful product. So we had that. We had the touring plans, field tested, scientifically validated, and then we wrapped a book around them. So, you know, as I was saying a little while ago, I'm very much an accidental travel writer. I certainly didn't start out trying to be a travel writer.
So it sounds like you're just trying to solve the problem basically for your family, and that's how it all got rolling.
Oh, absolutely. And then subsequently, you know, as we've worked down there over the years, we bump into other problems that families are having or individuals are having. And we likewise try to develop solutions for those. And there are many, many applications of science in the unofficial guide, from determining what ticket media is best for you to knowing how to score the fast pass that you want, or alternatively to get a table at Cinderella's Royal Table.
I love this. I'm going to ask you one more question. I know Ricky has a couple of questions, but one of the things that I really enjoy about the unofficial guides, and this is kind of my sense of humor, is I love that they're not dry books. They're big books, and there's tons of information. You're not going to read it cover to cover in one day at all, but it definitely gets me excited for my next Disney vacation when I'm thinking about going to a certain resort or checking out a couple of restaurants or even looking at offsite options. All of that's in there, but it's also got a little bit of little twang of humor there, here and there in the book, which makes it kind of fun. And also, I love that the listeners are a part of the book, or not the listeners, but the readers. They write in, they give feedback, and they give their best tips. So, you know, you might hear from somebody up in Iowa with their tip from, you know, staying at Riverside, or, you know, this person wrote in about a meal over at Kona Cafe at the Polynesian. So tell me about that, about how you make the book, because, I mean, this could be really dry stuff, but you make it fun to read, which I really appreciate.
Well, you know, it kind of starts with Len and I having a really wacky sense of humor. And we really enjoy hyperbole. And, you know, there's nobody better than Disney for taking to the cleaners over, you know, the silly and extreme things that they've done. We have a little piece in the introduction every year, which is a little fictional scenario called The Importance of Being Goofy. And in that, we lampoon how seriously Disney takes itself. I mean, they must have committees that sit around in dark rooms and worry about whether Goofy would look swishy in a cape or...
Absolutely.
Or, you know, what are we going to do about the Little Mermaid's cleavage? You know, seashells big enough. I mean, it's crazy the stuff they worry over. And we run into that stuff all the time, and we just love to drag it out and make fun of it. And we're not mean-spirited about it at all. And I think the book conveys the fact that we really are big on Disney World and on the product. But there's a lot of room for chuckles in regard to the way they run the operation, and particularly their penchant for keeping control over absolutely every little thing.
It makes it fun to read, I can tell you that, because definitely, you know, it could be just a bunch of stats and numbers and stuff, but man, I love when you throw that stuff in. So I'm going to let Ricky ask a couple questions, because I know we don't want to go too long.
Let me answer
here.
The other
part. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
There are many points of view on any given subject, and our point of view, we never considered to be the ultimate. So we've always been very amenable to people with alternative points of view, writing us, emailing us. And I think we've got the only book that argues with itself. So somebody sends in an opposing point of view, we'll just run it in the book right alongside ours and let the reader decide which they think works best for them.
That's awesome. It is. I mean, it makes for good reading. So I appreciate that you guys do that and hope you continue to do that. All right, Ricky, go ahead.
Love that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the unofficial guide, when I was first planning my very first vacation, that was the first thing that I picked up, you know, so it helped to make the planning fun, which is what you want. You know, you don't want it to be just boring and dry. You want it to be a little fun because that's the whole fun of planning a trip. That's why we all sit here and like to talk about it and plan. So yeah, I appreciate the humor as well. So, what's one thing that you've learned either while writing the guide or covering, you know, creating the touring plans that you just did not think would be the case?
I think that one of the things that has always blown me away is that Disney likes to fix things that aren't broken. You know, something will be going along just swimmingly, and they'll just pull it up by the roots and re-engineer it. I think lots and lots of us love the old fast pass system, particularly people who were veterans of the park and really understood how to get the most of it. You know, that's a prime example, but there have been so many things over the years that they've done that just pull the rug out from under something that was working really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely think you're right about that. So I take it that you know, the addition of FastPass Plus has really thrown a wrench in all the systems. So, yeah, that's interesting. So, now you guys also do books about other places as well, correct? Did that come about because of the Walt Disney World ones? But what would be your favorite other place besides Walt Disney World to write an unofficial guide about?
Well, I also authored an unofficial guide to Las Vegas. And it's fun for many of the same reasons that Disney World is, namely that it's always evolving, always changing. It's a tough destination to keep up with, but on the other hand, very rewarding. Mm-hmm. And at one point in time, I hope I don't bore you with this, at one point in time, we had 51 books in the Unofficial Guide series. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we were producing the series for John Wiley and Son Publishers. A lot of people aren't familiar with publishing in the United States, but they're about the 11th largest publisher in the U.S. And they ran into some horrible cash problems, and mostly in regard to their textbook business. But the upshot was that they started taking other books out of print. Fromers was our sister line at Wiley, and they took all of Pauline Fromer's series out of print. They took about 30 Fromer's guides out of print, and they took a whole bunch of our unofficial guides out of print. The financial situation finally became so dire that they sold Fromers and us to Google. So the upshot of all this is the last couple of years, while Wiley was having all these financial problems, they did nothing to promote the book. They did nothing really except to decrease the number of titles in print. When Google bought it, Google had no idea what to do with it. So they kind of spun their wheels for about another year and a half, after which finally we were able to negotiate to get the series back, and we brought it back to King Communications, which was its original home. So now we do all of the titles ourselves. But those 4 or 5 years of languishing had a tremendous effect on the series. And so we're just now trying to get a lot of these titles back in print. We printed, or we published the new unofficial guide to Washington, D.C. a couple months ago. We've done 2 Disney history books, Universal versus Disney.
Yeah, I've heard fabulous things about that book, by the way.
That's a fun book. If you're, you know, particularly if you're knowledgeable of both those parks and you know about the creativity and the rivalry. But, you know, we're trying to get our Paris and London and Central Italy and a lot of the other books that have gone out of print back into print.
Very interesting. So, I'm just so, like, it's, I know that it is kind of nerdy and geeky, but it's so interesting to hear all this. So, that's all I had, Mike. So, whatever okay. else you've got.
I'm just sitting here enjoying all this.
I know, it's like I'm so enthralled.
These are the best places in the world to visit, so I could imagine. Let me just ask you this, because then we'll wrap up with these events you have going on a second week of March down in Orlando, which I think everybody that's in the Orlando area needs to get to. But, you know, tell me about the teams, because you guys don't just have, like, people with, you know, stenography pads. And, you know, it's not that. You have, like, multidisciplinary, you know, you even have, like, child psychologists that help you out and everything else. So tell us just, you know, briefly about what it's like to assemble, you know, it feels like the Avengers or something, but like people that are just
the same thing. Yeah.
They're, you know, they're specialists,
but
it's so multi, you know, disciplinary, but I think that's what makes the information valuable to the reader. Don't you think?
Yeah. It really helps to have somebody that's truly expert. The book has evolved, and as the book has evolved and as the needs of our readers have evolved, then we've brought in different types of expertise. And we still have a large number of data collectors who spend time being run ragged by land in the park, collecting wait time data. We have dedicated hotel inspectors. We have the child psychologist, as you mentioned. We have some statisticians. It's a group of about 22 people. And they didn't all come on board at once. They sort of came in one at a time as some need became apparent that required some specific expertise, and then we'd go out and find somebody and bring them in.
That's interesting.
That's interesting.
That's really cool because, you know, like I said, I'm a school teacher, and I teach elementary gifted, but so I don't pretend to know the higher math that like Len uses and you guys use to come up with algorithms for touring plans and stuff like that. But what I like to tell my students is that I know people that use, you know, data that they gather, and they use it for a good reason. And, you know, every kid can get excited about waiting in line less at Walt Disney World. You know, my kids get to go maybe once in their life. You know, we're here in the Midwest, but it's really cool to show people that, you know, this is real science that definitely applies to something that people can enjoy, because I think a lot of people think, oh, science, we gather data and it's really dry and it's not useful, you know, directly to me for something that's fun, where you guys take it and spin it in a way that it definitely helps people have some of the best times of their lives. I mean, let's face it, a Disney vacation should be one of the highlights of the things you do in your lifetime.
And you start talking about science and people's eyes glaze. But if you put it in context and show how it makes something better or easier for them, then they really appreciate it. And certainly the person who's able to go back to their hotel for a 2.5-hour nap rather than standing in line in the theme park makes that connection.
God bless you guys, because I love my naps in the middle of July when it's 150 degrees down there. I'd much rather get back, swim, take a nap, and enjoy my day. So as we wrap up here, I know that you do, like I said, you have some author events going on in Orlando here, second week of March. So could you share that with our listeners so maybe they could drop by?
Yeah, we have two events. One of them is at the regular meeting of would-be writers. And I'm going to be talking to them about the publishing industry and trying to help them with their craft and to sort through all of the odds and ends and figure out what it takes for them to get their works published. And the other authors will be there at that meeting too. So after my presentation, then the writers will be able to talk to all of our authors to sort of ascertain what their personal experience is and how they came about being published. And then the other event, which I think is on Tuesday the 10th. The first event is on Monday, March 9th at 7 p.m. at the Celebration Library. I'm sorry, the West Osceola Library, but it is in Celebration. And then the next day, it's all about the authors. And we have about five of our authors, including Lillian Opsommer, who's co-author of Walt Disney World with Kids, Seth Kuberski, who works on the Disneyland book, Lynn and Laurel from Touring Plans, who I think have put up one of the most amazing websites in the world and who also are very deeply involved in the print product and have authored the Unofficial Guide to Cruises. They'll hold forth and talk to people in regard to just about anything that they're interested in.
A team of great people, and it would be a really, you know, both nights I wish I could be there. You know, I'm stuck here in St. Louis, but it'd be I'd be there if I was down in Orlando. So well, we're going to wrap this up, Bob, but let me just thank you on behalf of all of our listeners and particularly my family. We've had better Disney vacations just because of the information you've given us in the unofficial guides. And, you know, just please pass on the encouraging words to your team and, you know, on behalf of all of our Disney fans out there, because it's nice to have the unofficial guides to help us plan better Disney vacations.
I'm glad they've been of help to you. We certainly identify with our readers' needs and try to help solve their problems in any way we can.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode. We hope you enjoyed the interview with Bob Selinger from the Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World and all the other unofficial guides. So, Bob, where can people pick up these books? I'm sure you can get them just about anywhere.
Yeah, online. You can get them at barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com. But they're in most brick-and-mortar bookstores as well and in some travel stores.
That's right. And when you get there, turn them out, you know, display them prominently like I do. It's like I'm OCD or something. I have to do it, you know, so everybody sees the, you know, the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. So check it out. And again, Bob, thanks so much for your time. Hope you're having a great day.
Thank you so much. Really enjoyed being with you.
All right. Don't forget today's episode, as always, here on a Friday, brought to you by the good folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. They're going to help you plan that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line vacation. Great professional agents over there. They're going to give you concierge level service from the time you fill out that free no obligation quote form. So check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. Between shows, don't forget to check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're your source for the magic. Check it out today over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. Thank you so much for checking in with us here on a Friday. Hope you enjoyed this fun interview. It's just awesome having
you learn something. That's
it.
I did.
We took you to science class today, people.
That's
but,
right.
It was a fun science class. So we appreciate your time and hope that you have a great weekend. So for Ricky and Bob Selinger, I am Mike Rallman, wishing you a great weekend. Stay safe, whatever you do, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.